Every Easter, a centerpiece of my preaching is about the fourfold shape of the Easter liturgy that we have at the Great Vigil. And it constitutes for the whole of the Christian year, but certainly for the great 50 days of Easter, a template that we place over our understanding or a ways and a means to appropriate the Easter message and make it part of our own personal history. So that means that we focus on four things. The presence of the light of Christ symbolized in the Paschal candle, which for Christian people represents the illuminative processes of God at work both internally to show us the way forward, how we understand God's purposes for us, to reinforce those aspects of our character that are good and godly, and to show us those aspects of our character that are in need of reform, and perhaps the ways to make those reforms in order for us to live a life congruent with God's purposes. And the presence of the light of Christ is the illuminative process to the community of faith that always seeks to be faithful in the world, how they might be transparencies and reflections of God's grace and love as they live. And so we then understand how we can put into our hands, we're going to hear about that later today, some of the ways in which we're faithful. The presence of the light of Christ. The second, which I'll talk about when I speak briefly about the gospel, is about the history of salvation. And we read about the history of salvation in the Bible. And as we seek to connect the dots, both personally and corporately, we understand some things. One is, we have heard about God's abiding presence to the cosmos from the beginning. And we also understand, by virtue of our listening at the liturgy and our common life together, that we are part of the history of salvation. And to sharpen that a little bit, we understand that our own personal history is part of the history of salvation. What that means, of course, is that your story is important and it counts, and you have a role to play, and you're part of something big. And so in the great 50 days of Easter, we celebrate that and give thanks for it. The third piece of this template is the sacrament of baptism. And it is an affirmation of the way in which we become now, in a special and intensified way, attached to the body of Christ and enabled through the power of God's Spirit, God coming in an inward way to enlighten and strengthen us, the ways and the means to respond to God's call and to be a transparency and a reflection of God's grace. And finally, we affirm the importance and the centrality of that practice, the Holy Eucharist, that spiritual food and drink, which empowers us and strengthens us and gives us the stamina to continue on to do God's work on a weekly basis. It provides us with a form of energy. So those four things are kind of the predicates, and they're important because we read today from the Gospel according to St. Luke, one of the most beautiful resurrection appearances in the Gospels. And it is there because it constitutes two things. There is in this story a core historical reality that is being affirmed in this Gospel. But also what surrounds it is Luke and his community's reflection on its meaning, this historical core and tradition that was passed over to them, of how they might understand encountering the presence of Christ, appropriating the resurrection, how it remains active and vital in their own time. 85, 90 A.D., so about 50 years out, right, from the Christ event itself. And this is a story about two things, two aspects of this fourfold shape. The rehearsal of the history of salvation, the Word, and the sacrament, the Holy Eucharist, Jesus was revealed to them and made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And so for Luke, this story is a wonderful story about how Jesus rehearses for Cleopas and his companion. By the way, I read a commentary by Bishop N.T. Wright, the Bishop of Durham. He's a bit conservative, but he writes some good books about the New Testament. And one of the things he said was that, you know, there's no reason to believe that this wasn't a couple, that this maybe was Cleopas and his wife walking. The implication being, of course, the word is to everybody. So it isn't a bunch of guys who were walking along on the road to Emmaus who got the word from Jesus. They got the word together and came back and shared it with all the people, the disciples and their companions. So Jesus rehearses to them the history of salvation. And they begin themselves to connect the dots because they were present. They were eyewitnesses, it appears. And they said to themselves, "Did not our hearts burn when we heard him tell us about how all this is so?" What's going to happen? Luke and his predecessors, immediate predecessors, looked at the sacred scriptures in the Hebrew Bible and they said, "My God, if we'd have just paid attention, we can see that embedded in this history of salvation is the foretelling of the coming of Jesus, who will for us be the unique focus of the divine presence." So they understand now that salvation history is important. And when we read it, 2008 years out, we're reading it from the standpoint that salvation history is important. We have a role to play as a community, the people of God, and we have a role to play personally, that our history, our personal history, counts and is important. And finally, Jesus is hidden from them in terms of who he is, his identity, until they are at table and during the breaking of the bread. And they then see him and recognize him for who he is. And so too, mystically, we understand that to be so every time we come to Mass. Every time we participate in the Eucharist, Christ is present. Father Thomas Keating says, Christ is present five ways at the Mass every time we come. In you, the assembly, in the reading of the Word, in the prayer of consecration that the presider proclaims, in the Holy Communion, the bread and the wine, and in you, as you get up and go. Remember, you've heard me say this to you before. If what we're doing right now is a personal navel-gazing exercise that we do on a regular basis, it is a useless exercise. You are being empowered to go out there and make a difference. Because someday, somebody is going to ask you, how do I get what you have? And you will be empowered and enabled to be able to tell them about your greatest place of safety and assurance. So this week, think about your own road to Emmaus. Maybe you can put two and two together obliquely and say you have had things in your past where people have rehearsed to you some aspect of a historical perspective that then placed you vocationally in a direction that you needed to go. Maybe they told you some things about ways in which you might alter your course. Maybe you learned some practical wisdom from somebody that helped you out on the way. So this week, give thanks to God for those occasions and also for the opportunity to do that to someone else. Amen.